Okay, so we have John McCarthy here tonight. John's the county administrator, in case you didn't know that. And he's going to talk to us about redistricting and just whatever else.
I thought I'd be speaking at the podium, and I left a couple pieces of paper there, so I'm going to wander over here. I made some copies. Unfortunately, I wasn't sure how many would be here, so I just made five and made as many more as you'd like.
Thank you.
It wasn't a commentary. This is a memo I sent to the Board of Supervisors last month covering the broad brush of the subject of redistricting. And I won't reiterate everything that's in there, but I will try to riff off it a little bit. Pretty much the only constitutional mandate the federal government has is to do a census every 10 years. And that's what was done back in April, the results of which are in that vast series of crazy supercomputers humming away in suburban Maryland and elsewhere in the United States now, being crunched into the various categories that the census drives information into. The raw data about the numbers of population have already been released in the United States. You may probably have seen several news releases and several director of the census, and I think even Vice President Biden stood up and talked about how many people there were in the country. But that isn't very useful for redistricting purposes. What is useful, obviously, is the detailed information about where everybody is in the country and how that falls in the existing congressional districts, the existing local election districts. And then we then parse and figure out a way to change those lines. That detailed information is going to be released in February. By law, it has to be released in April, but Virginia is one of those states that, as you all are perfectly well aware, we are always campaigning for one office or another. And with an election in November, if they didn't release the stuff till April, there'd be literally no way they could do any sort of redistricting in time to do elections in November. So the information is going to be released in February. We hope early in February, but there are no real guarantees the Census Bureau is giving us. What we know from the raw numbers of Virginia and the general estimations about where bodies are spread out in the state is that at least four House of Delegates seats are going to be moving into Northern Virginia, which means there will be expansion in area in the rest of the state of House of Delegates seats. Not everywhere, of course, because there are obviously parts of what are typically called the Golden Crescent, which is Northern Virginia sweeping down 95 to Richmond and then swinging on east towards Tidewater. Those areas have substantially grown. There are parts of the rest of Virginia that have kept pace, but they're very much isolated islands, and so the vast rural part of Virginia that spreads around those various regions are what's going to end up having less representation. How do you say that?
Per capita.
Well, not per capita, but geographically the area will be greater that's represented by one person or series of people. That'll happen in Senate and House, but probably most directly impacting on us in the House. And when I say impacting on us, that's highly subjective because I remember about 20 years ago, shortly after I started this job, Larry Sabato, who some of you may know, was a very cogent and well-regarded political analyst in Virginia, based in the University of Virginia. He's since moved on to more lucrative pastures, if not necessarily greener ones. But Larry had commissioned a representational map that showed all the various counties in Virginia represented by their size relative to their political strength, using the same outline of Virginia, but then the county sizes was reflective of their political might. And Fairfax and Loudoun were these vast, enormous blobs that took up the better part of half the state. And if you looked real hard, you could find Rappahannock slapped under the underbelly of Fauquier. We are an infinitesimally small portion of anybody's House or Senate district. So we are never going to be the driving factor in dividing and deciding where a boundary is going to get set. We're going to get slapped on as an afterthought. The last time we went through redistricting in 2000, some of you may recall, the northernmost precinct in the county, Chester Gap, was actually included in what became Clay Athey's district on the other side of the mountain, purely because the state's wise men, if you will, in that smoke-filled room in Richmond, divided along the exact population boundary lines and adopted that map without any regard to the political jurisdictions within it or not, without any real regard to community of interest. Now, the last time around, what happened was that was the basis for the 2000 election, and then, I'm sorry, the 2001 election, And then the General Assembly that met in 2002 adjusted all those precinct boundaries again so that things like that could get cleaned up and all this county could be represented by one House and one Senate district. That's what's going to happen again. There will be a very slapdash state plan that will be put together this summer in order to get the rough population numbers in place to do a House election, get through a General Assembly election, and then they'll go back next year, this time next year, and fix some of those what will inevitably be problems, or precinct problems, if you will. Having said all that, I'll also say that last election was a clear example of how jurisdictions are typically split by House boundaries. I think it's unlikely that we will be because there's not much purpose in doing that. There's not that much people. But Fauquier, which historically had been one House district in one or other House district, was divided into three last time around. And I'll candidly tell you there was a great deal of angst about that. Lots of wailing and moaning about how terrible that was. Our community of interest is getting fractured and so on and so forth. The actual experience on the ground has been among the elected leadership of Fauquier County is that it's been great. Because if we have a bill we want, or if we have legislation we want to shop around to somebody, we got three people to go to in the House rather than just one. And every one of them is motivated to try to do something for us somewhere along the line. So what I'm conveying is everybody has great predictions about what happens when redistricting happens, and it's never right. It's never wrong in the way you think it might be wrong either. It's unpredictable because everything is connected. It's like neurosurgery. You pull on one thing, it's connected to something else. You just can't tell how it's going to work out in the end. Having said all that, let me go back to the basics of what's going to happen here. February, the numbers come out. We, like Orange County, Madison County, and Culpeper County, have agreed to contract with the local Rappahannock Rapidan Regional Commission. They're buying software and computer programs that will enable us to take all that census data down to the level where we'll be looking at whose house that is in that precinct, and do we draw the line in front of the house or behind the house. Because the constitutional mandate is, not the constitutional, but the statutory and court decision derived mandate is, you can allow to have a 10% variation of population between districts.
10%.
5% up, 5% down for a total of 10. Mm-hmm. Now, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that's right. It says equal representation. But court decisions that have been handed down time and time again have indicated that if you keep it within a 5% variation of whatever the mean is, then you're all right. The median is, then you're all right. The problem with that is, in this county, what's going to happen in 3 months, 4 months, is going to be something that happened 10 years before that and 10 years before that, which is the Jackson District is going to get smaller. Wakefield District is going to get a little bit smaller. Hampton District is going to stay about the same, and Stonewall, Hawthorne, and Piedmont are going to get bigger. The problem, why that is a problem, is because people who have historically voted in one spot probably the entirety of their adult lives are going to move. They're going to have to go somewhere else. It's not going to be a huge number of people because we haven't had a great deal of growth over the last 10 years. But we've had highly localized growth and it's been disparate. And that tends to historically mean the Jackson District has been inevitably and inexorably getting smaller and smaller ever since World War II. Wakefield has changed a little bit here and there. Generally, it's gotten smaller. Hampton spent the time in the 60s and 70s when it got bigger. But ever since then, it's been contracting a little bit. And the one district that's gotten more and more space and fewer people is Stonewall Hawthorne. That will lead to some interesting decisions that have to be made, one of which is, are we going to have Stonewall Hawthorne split into precincts? Chester Gap and Flint Hill are the only two precincts in one voting district. Every other voting district is a precinct unto itself. But as Stonewall Hawthorne gets bigger and bigger, the notion that everyone's going to go down to the church in Scrabble, or if they live up in Castleton, or if they live even points further north, is what's going to happen if that district line marches further north into Jackson District, is going to be harder and harder to support. And so there's been some talk about adding another precinct or moving the polling place to Castleton. Moving the polling place is never popular. Changing where everybody goes by going to a third polling place isn't popular, but of course that's a possibility with the church's relocation down at Scrabble now. They're building a new church in Culpeper County. They don't have plans to sell that one now, but presumably sometime they will. We're probably going to have a new polling place. Scrabble School is just down the road. That's the logical place to move it. The trouble with that is Scrabble School's got 12 parking spaces. We all know what a precinct can look like on a busy election day, particularly a national election when everybody tends to turn out. It's going to be complicated to move traffic in and out of there. Dividing it into as one of two precincts might make some good sense. larger picture, we're in the midst now of what's very unfortunately called a bailout program with the Department of Justice. As a legacy of our poor record, Virginia's poor record with civil rights over the last half century, or the last 150 years, in fact, we, along with all the states of the old Confederacy, are obliged, whenever we do anything affecting a local election, to get preclearance from the Department of Justice. So before we move a polling place, before we change a boundary line on an election district, we got to submit that plan to the Department of Justice 90 days before it takes effect, and then at the end of that 90 days, they say that, yes, we're not going to sue you about it, it looks okay. There's a lot of cost involved in that, there's a lot of delay involved in that, and so we, like a number of other jurisdictions, have applied to bail out of that process by virtue of showing that we have not committed any sins in the last 30 or 40 years. We haven't done anything that's negatively impacted anybody's minority voting rights, and we haven't, you know, locked doors on people who are otherwise trying to vote, all those sorts of things. We have an attorney that we've retained who's submitting all that information to the Department of Justice, and hopefully they will tell us, yes, go forth, sin no more, and we can then proceed. So that, just like every other jurisdiction north of us, we can go ahead and do these things when we need to do them, like changing the district boundaries. What's your input going to be on those district boundaries? Well, the Regional Commission is going to come back to us with probably, here's what gets you as close to exactly equal as we can get. The five members of the Board of Supervisors are going to sit around at a table on a sunny afternoon, look at that on a PowerPoint presentation, and they're going to find a cousin, an aunt, an uncle, their high school buddy, who's been moved from their voting district, and they're going to just go nuts. They're going to hate it. So we're going to end up with two or three different plans that we're going to advertise all of, and just say, here's any one of these will meet that 5% up or down variation. Some have warts because it crosses a river to get three more houses into this district. One, it goes on the other side of a road, whereas otherwise the road is the boundary between the two districts. This one involves moving 25 people from their current polling place to a new place. This one involves moving 50 people, but it's 20 here, 20 here, and 10 here. All of these things are, in the abstract, they're simple, and it doesn't involve a lot of people. I mean, there's probably going to be less than 100 people affected as to where they voted after all this is said and done. But I guarantee you, the plan will make no sense at all to them, and they're all going to express outrage. Well, not all, but a great many of them express outrage and indignation. We're going to go to public hearing on those plans. By law, any of you who have way too much time on your hands can go to Google, download a program, get the Tiger data files, and come in there and say, no, here's a better plan. Now, supervisors don't have to consider that. They have to adopt something that meets the requirement, and they'll do so after that public hearing. Maybe you all come up with a better plan. In fact, if any of you will represent that you'll come in with a plan, that three plans that will meet that requirement, I won't do any of this, and we'll just take one of yours. That'll be fine with me. I'll have a scapegoat I can blame for when those 100 people call and are angry, and I'll point them at you. Because of the numbers, because of the impact on the fact that it's not going to affect, quite likely, it's not going to affect any state voting districts, Senate boundaries or House delegate boundaries, there's not that much to fight about on our boundaries. It's getting enough people to meet that mandate of plus or minus 5% and get them equal. That's all. And have it hopefully affect the least number of people, anger the least number of people. It's not going to be really hard. It's not going to be very complicated, but it's going to be unpleasant to those who are forced to change from one place to another.
Okay, well, thank you very much, John.
You're welcome.
Thank you.